This is Push Button Influence, where the world's leading influencers candidly share their exact strategies for maximizing reach, accelerating growth, and generating massive exposure, all by leveraging the power of new media. You can become the next Larry King, Oprah, or Howard Stern. All you need to do is broadcast your brilliance. Push Button Influence teaches you how. Here are your hosts, Alex Mondoshian and Steve Olscher.
All right. Welcome to another edition here of Push Button Influence. I am your host, Steve Olscher, along with my co-host extraordinaire, Alex Mondoshian. And today we are joined by the one, the only, Josh Turner. And man, knowing how busy you are and knowing all the things that you have on the docket, my brother, thank you so much for being here with us. Now, Alex, as we like to do every week here on Push Button Influence, we like to start out with a word, and I think you have a word that is pretty darn special that I know you were just jumping out of your chair to share. So what is your word of the week?
Well, it starts with the same letter my first name starts with, and it's a word that defines Josh Turner for me. I've masterminded with Josh. I've gotten to know him a lot better. In fact, we even changed our launch date for Josh, and we're supporting him, and he's about to go into a launch, and he's here with us right now live, and that word is automation, automation. Now, whether it's generating appointments automatically or it's automating a business and scaling it and growing bigger, you're known for automation, whether it's LinkedIn, Facebook, or just let's say online influence, Josh. So what does automation mean to you, and what has it meant to growing your business, because you're on a meteoric rise right now?
Yeah, that's interesting. And I think that a lot of the times when I'm in masterminds, like when we were at or just hanging out with peers or colleagues in the industry, like that's the thing that people ask me about a lot. And one of the things they ask me about is, because we do a lot of automated webinars, people are always wanting to know, you know, how do you get these evergreen funnels that are, you know, that convert like this? And it's something that you know, we didn't start out doing that. It's kind of grown over time, but definitely for the last couple of years, automation has been a big part of my business. I mean, the things you said about, you know, video is huge these days. I mean, there's nothing more powerful than speaking from a stage. And with webinars, it's like speaking from a stage, but virtually, and you can do it in your pajamas. And with automated webinars, you can have them running multiple times a day, every day of the week, while you're just, you know, kind of managing the business, you know. And so as a business grows, and for me, I'm essentially the face of the company. I'm the one that does a lot of that kind of stuff, as probably the majority of the people on this call are in the same kind of boat. And it reaches a point, though, where you can't do everything you want to do. And automation is one of the things that when you start growing your business, you have to look to it to be able to get past some of those, you know, blocks that are going to be in your way.
Well, one of the things with automation, yeah. Steve, second quick question is, people think they lose marketing intimacy. They think they lose personalization and authenticity and genuineness. But automation doesn't have to be disingenuous. You can have an automated recorded live webinar and still talk on the chat live.
Right.
And so you haven't lost any of the authenticity with automation with your business, right? It's still up there.
Yeah. No, I would totally agree with that.
Yep. Awesome. All right. So my word for you, Mr. Turner, is this bad boy right here, which if you can read the chicken scratch, that says inbound. So for those on the podcast, they're like, we can't read it. Well, of course you can't read it because you're on the podcast. So that word is inbound. And my question for you is, when it comes to your expertise, and obviously you've done so much with LinkedIn, but if I can speak a little bit for you, I do believe that part of your success, if not a large part of your success, really can be attributed directly to the amount of inbound inquiries that you've been able to garner over the years in terms of how to leverage your expertise and what you bring to the table that they want. So I know there are a lot of folks who just have these brilliant gifts and they're kind of that best kept secret out there, and they could benefit from inbound inquiries, appointments, et cetera. How do you recommend that people leverage, and let's just start with the LinkedIn conversation before we go a little bit more general. Sure. How do you recommend that people leverage LinkedIn specifically for inbound consultations, inquiries, et cetera?
Yeah. Well, that's where I really started having success when I first started my business. It was using LinkedIn and the strategies that we teach now and that I teach in my book that's coming out soon. And so like some of the things that worked on LinkedIn 5-6 years ago back then, LinkedIn's a totally different animal right now. But if you're in the place of growing your business and you're looking to LinkedIn as a source of inbound leads, so if we're going to define a lead, it could be somebody opting in for your ebook or lead magnet or a webinar, or it could be signing up for a strategy session or reaching out to you to just line up a call to talk business and learn more about what you do. I mean, there's a number of tactics you're going to want to use. I mean, the basic strategy we teach in the book is one way to do it. I mean, we have clients that have set up the system and they are, you know, leads just kind of come in on autopilot at this point because they've positioned themselves as leaders and experts in their industry, and they're serving their prospects and providing value and resource to them instead of just always talking about themselves all the time. And when you can build a community that is really centered around what your prospects care about and not just what's, you know, all about you, that is a fantastic way to not only build lots of relationships and lots of top of mind awareness with really targeted prospects, but then also as you build momentum to get those kinds of inbound leads coming in. So that's, you know, that's one of the strategies that we teach. There's a lot of other stuff on LinkedIn too. LinkedIn Pulse, for example, long form post publishing on LinkedIn is a great way to drive, you know, opt-ins for ebooks, webinars, and stuff like that, or to drive people to a scheduling form for strategy sessions. You know, LinkedIn advertising, a good way to generate inbound traffic, although, you know, you have to have a budget to be able to throw some money at it. So those are a few things off the top of my head.
Yep. Awesome. Alex?
Yeah. You know, those of the blabbers now watching inside the blab and, of course, outside the blab, there's about 10 times as many people watching outside currently. There's one thing that's overlooked when prospecting, and they forget that it's kind of like dating and then getting engaged and then getting married. And if you lose the client, it's like a divorce. But you really focus on, you know, that first date, which is the appointment. And yep. That's been lost. You know, the appointment has been lost. People try to sell too soon and they lose the appointment. So why don't you talk about how to generate that appointment and why saying too much is kind of like, you know, a first date where you kind of stick your foot in your mouth and you never get that date.
Yeah. Well, I mean, to go back to that philosophy I talked about a second ago, with building a community and providing value and resources for your prospects. It's different than talking about yourself all the time. When you're the kind of person that's always talking about yourself all the time, it kind of turns people off after a while. You know, it's like being the person that at a networking meeting or an event that's just walking up to everybody and sticking your business card in their face and rattling off all about what you can do for them. And they're like, I just got your name, buddy. I mean, you know, and that's the kind of person people want to run away from, right? But for some reason, a lot of people go online and use these awesome tools like LinkedIn and Facebook and such, and that's how they're acting. And I, you know, I don't blame people. I think it comes from a good place because we've all been, you know, before all these cool online tools came around, what did we have to learn from? You know, we had big companies that we watched advertising to us on television and radio and all this, and it was just push advertising all the time. Well, now that we as small business owners have these tools in our hands, a lot of people take these tools and they implement those kinds of push advertising tactics where they think, okay, I'm going to go on Facebook, I'm going to go on LinkedIn, and I'm just going to pimp my business constantly, and I'm just going to constantly push it out there. And it's just, it doesn't get good results doing that, you know, and it really, it turns people off. And instead, if you can position yourself as a really a trusted resource and a leader and more of a peer in the industry that you're trying to serve and really focus on building the relationship first, when you do that, and then a little bit further down the road, ask to talk business, that's the best way to maximize the response rate when you're trying to use a tool like LinkedIn to get appointments.
Gotcha. Very cool, man. So at this juncture, I believe there are, what, a few hundred million people on LinkedIn? What's the last number that you saw? Do you remember the last number that you saw? 400, yeah. So it's obviously a lot of people. Do most people use it wrong, in your opinion? And what are you seeing as some of those core mistakes that most people are making when it comes to it? Obviously, you touched on some of this, but what are some of the other, let's maybe even profile specific?
Sure.
And again, I don't want to throw you in this box here because I know you're a lot more than just LinkedIn, but that's a big part of, that's you okay. know, you know, I know it's a big part of who you are and a big part of what people know you for. So maybe just a couple of key thoughts around profiles and some of the things that you've seen people just do, I mean, just horribly wrong.
Sure. Yeah. Profile specifically. Well, for the first thing, I mean, is people use LinkedIn for all sorts of reasons, but if you're using it to try and generate business, to market your business, to get in front of prospects, to try and generate some appointments, let's focus on that. And the mistakes that people make there, profile specifically, is, you know, the first thing people are going to look at is going to be your picture. So let's say you send somebody a connection request, which is often the first touch point, all right? Or if they just stumble on your profile somehow, they're going to look at your picture. And they're going to think, you know, does this person look like a little gremlin that I want to avoid? Or does this look like a nice professional person that I'm going to consider reading more about them? You know, and for most people, you know, you got a decent headshot. You're in good shape there. So then they move on to your headline. And then this is where a lot of people falter, because they'll have something like owner at GKS LLC or something like that. And when I see that, it's just, you know, it makes me think those people don't care about getting any benefit out of using LinkedIn, because when you have a headline like that, it doesn't tell anybody anything. Yeah, it tells them that you own a company, but you know, you're going to be much better off if you structure your headline to really speak to the kinds of companies you serve and the benefit you provide them, maybe some sort of a unique value proposition that you can work in there, something to that effect. And that way, when one of your ideal prospects stumbles along your profile, the first thing they're going to read is that headline, and they're going to think, this is somebody that's speaking my language, and they're going to be interested to read more. And then from there, they're going to go down to the next thing, which is usually going to be your summary section, which is a place where then you can start really bringing them in, tell a little bit of a story, maybe include a testimonial or a case study, and then close with a call to action at the bottom that's going to get them to take some next step with your business. And that's one of the keys too, is, you know, look at your LinkedIn profile like a landing page. What is the one thing that you want people to do when they visit your profile? Is it you want them to go sign up for a strategy session? Is it that you want them to sign up for your webinar? Is it that you want them to send you a connection request? Structure your profile to guide people into doing that.
Yeah. Alex?
Okay. So next word for me is what LinkedIn can do better than Facebook, Twitter, Google+, or any other platform. I mean, they want to be the world's number one publishing platform, but they pre-qualify for business anyway better than any other platform that I know, because you can get so specific. As long as people have inputted content and numbers that are not lies, you can be extremely specific. So for those watching who have no clue of how specific you can get, why don't you share how well we can pre-qualify? We're not just talking, you know, between vegetarians and meat eaters. We're talking about micro, you know, nicheifying, and you can do it locationally, geographically, and you can do it by size of business. So go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when I first started my business, the first things I started trying were like Twitter, Facebook, a little bit of LinkedIn, and just doing the stuff that you hear a lot of people talking about, with just posting updates and trying to engage and just kind of just putting stuff out there. The spray and pray strategy, you might call it. And really quickly, I found that this is not going to work for me. At the time, I was working as an outsourced CFO, so a small consultant, basically. I've been working out of my house, just trying to get a client in the door to pay the bills. So all the fluffy social media stuff didn't work. I looked at LinkedIn, which I had been using for a few years for the company that I worked for. And I thought, you know, this is where I need to be focusing. And so I went on LinkedIn, I ditched all the other stuff, and I said, okay, who are the types of business owners that I need to be getting in front of in the St. Louis area? And I went on LinkedIn and I started sending connection requests to hundreds of them. And in a really short amount of time, I built up a really solid database of a bunch of business owners running pretty decent sized companies in the St. Louis area. And that is the power of it. So no matter what the avatar is of the person you're going after, like that is one of LinkedIn's strong suits. Absolutely. You hit the nail on the head. It's very difficult to do that on Facebook. I mean, certain niches, you're going to be better off marketing on Facebook. And the systems that we teach and that I talk about in my new book can be applied on either LinkedIn or Facebook. But for a lot of industries, especially B2B, LinkedIn is so powerful, because you just can't go on Facebook and search for business owners in St. Louis that have between 10 and 100 employees. It's not, you can't do a people search like that. maybe in their advertising platform, you can target in that way in certain regards, but you can't connect with them on a personal level like that, like you can within LinkedIn.
Yeah, that's really, really, really sage advice. And let me ask you this, Josh, because there are a lot of people who are pretty good. And if you remember, my word was inbound, right? So there are some people who are pretty good on the inbound side of the equation, but not so good on the closing side of the equation. So getting an appointment is one thing. And of course, some would argue that's more than half the battle. I think there are people who would actually argue that moving people to take positive action is more than half the battle, because they may be really good on the front end, but not so good on the back end. How do you recommend, and how do you work with some of your folks to get, you know, to get them to move from that initial point of inquiry to actually signing on the dotted line and becoming a client? So maybe some strategies around converting the conversation to a commitment. Does that sound familiar, Alex? Conversation and commitment? Yeah.
Conversation and commitment. Yeah. Well, admittedly, my company's focus is on helping people generate appointments and leads. So we don't do a whole lot in the area of sales coaching or sales training and such. But okay, I'll tell you one story I like to share with people is a roofing contractor that I know who has people that go around door to door and like harass people to try and, you know, take a bid for repairing their roof or giving them some new windows or something. And he was telling me a story about two of his salespeople. One of them that has like a ridiculously high close rate, another one that's pretty darn low. And he was telling me that the person that has the lower close rate actually made more money last year. And the reason is because she was more persistent and had more at bats. She worked harder. She got herself in front of a lot of people. You know, and so even though she wasn't as good when she got in front of people, she made it up with work ethic and tenacity. Now, now her next step has got to be improving her close rate so she can have the best of both worlds. But that's something I like to tell people, even if they're worried that, you know, their close rate's not as good as they want it to be, all those kinds of things. So to answer your question more directly, though, about like what can people do to better close once they're on an appointment? I mean, I think a big part of it is making sure that you're on the phone with the right people in the first place, that they're aware of the problems, that it's a real issue, that they're willing to invest in solving, right? And so some of that comes into the indoctrination or the marketing that you do before you get on the phone in the first place, right? Some of it has to do with just the targeting, making sure that the folks that you're getting on the phone with are the right fit, that they're in a position to buy from you. All those kinds of things are, I think, really important. And then from a, you know, a sales conversation standpoint, you know, we have three sales guys on our team. I mean, there's all sorts of, you know, tactics that they use and processes they follow. But at the end of the day, the biggest thing for us is just building value, showing people the path, and then asking them, you know, hey, what would it be worth to you to get these kinds of results? And would you like our help with it? And a good percentage of people say, yeah, I would like your help with it.
Awesome. Yep.
Josh, you have an appointment generator process and a tool to get appointments. And
right.
And in when you're in front of enough people, as you indicated, no matter what your batting average, the more people you're in front of, you're going to eventually learn. And then, you know, you get to eat because you close more sales. Yeah. But let's take my process. About 43 to 45 times a year, I have a discovery session on Fridays when I'm around. And when I get the appointment, what I do to indoctrinate them before the appointment, to orient them on what to expect, it's a 4-minute video. But prior to that video, with that discovery session, my closing rate for a $25,000 client was really low. But the moment I put that video in, what to expect, my values, and really indoctrinating of, you know, what I believe in, everything changed. So what's your belief? What happens between getting the appointment and actually having the appointment? Is there any involvement with the potential client and prospects in that interim, which I found to be very helpful? Some people don't have any, and they just, you know, they're really good at the close. But I find that indoctrinating them before we talk makes things a lot easier.
I think that's absolutely the case. You know, and with a lot of our marketing, that is happening all along the way for weeks before a conversation, because somebody might attend a webinar, they might end up, you know, getting a number of emails. And by the time they decide that they want to chat with somebody on my team or one of our coaches, you know, they've seen a lot of our stuff. They really understand our business and what we're all about at that point. So, I mean, I think it's absolutely critical. You know, if you're just getting on the phone with cold people that don't really know much about you, it's going to be a much, much harder close. You're going to have to be much, much better at selling if you're in that kind of a boat, or just have something that is so hot that people are going to jump on it. But I love that idea that you just shared, though. I actually just wrote that down, sending the video. Do you send that video out like the day before the call? Or?
Yeah, now that's really interesting. So here's my process. Now I get about one 25K client every 2 weeks and about two 5K clients, $5,000 clients, once a week, right? So it's very profitable. It's over $1 million funnel. But if I sent that video out 3 days before, 1 week before, 2 days before, doesn't have the impact. When I send it out 1 day before and I even mention it and do a recap at the very beginning of the discovery session, bam, yeah, it has a huge impact. So I put that inside the tweet so people can see it and audit it. But having an orientation video is critical. Steve and I, you know, for our forthcoming launch, we have an indoctrination too. Like, here's what to expect. And with curriculum too, you know, before people go into a membership site, you got to have an orientation, a big picture. Here's what to expect, this kind of set of context. So getting the appointment is really important, but I think a lot is lost in between the appointment and then the actual, you know, discussion. And so I want to.
I think that's super powerful, man. I think those are great points. I mean, I've taken a couple notes myself.
Awesome. All right. Well, welcome everybody. If you're just joining us here live on Blab, this is Push Button Influence, and we broadcast every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Pacific. Today, we've got Josh Turner joining us. Now, Josh, you've got a new book coming out, man. And actually, you did some pre-release on that. And ironically enough, or appropriately enough, the book is called Booked. It's awesome, man. Right. So give us an overview, really, of what Booked is all about. And you talked about earlier, you sort of alluded to some of the systems that you're teaching mm-hmm. in the book. Can you give us a high level overview of what the book is all about? And then some of those systems?
Yeah, sure. It's really one system, and it's the primary system that we have been implementing for clients that hire our agency, linked selling, over the last 4 or 5 years. And it is, it's really been our bread and butter. And it's just, it's, you know, really to a point where in the past I've held it kind of close to the vest, but we've decided now, you know what, let's get this thing out there. I think it can help a lot of people, and that's proven to be the case. And so the book is really the story of how I came to develop the system, both with myself and with my team. And then just, the nuts and bolts, the entire thing from A to Z, walking people through how to set it up, what it's all about. And at a high level, it teaches people how to really systematically position themselves as leaders and experts in their space, and then how to leverage that kind of positioning through messaging processes that we've been refining over the years to generate qualified appointments, pretty much, not on autopilot, I would say, but if you put the work in, if you do the work, that you're going to have a consistent stream of appointments that you can rely on. We did a study a few weeks ago of 1,300 business owners, and it wasn't like a, you know, little quick two-question survey. The average time it took somebody to fill it out was 18 minutes, and so I was really blown away that so many people took the time to do it. But the data that we got back was really amazing, and one of the things that came from it was that we found that there was a question we asked, and we said, you know, do you sometimes have cash flow problems in your business? Do you consistently have cash flow problems in your business? Or do you never have cash flow problems in your business? And 88% of people fell in one of the buckets that said we have cash flow problems in our business. 12% of respondents said they never have cash flow problems in their business. So we looked at that data and it said, you know, what else can we kind of, you know, what can we correlate with this? What's causing that? And the most interesting thing we saw is that of the 12% of businesses that don't have cash flow problems and are, you know, if profitability is one of the measures of a business's success, then those businesses are succeeding at a bit of a higher level. If these more successful businesses you know, what one of the things they said was that they do have systems to generate leads and appointments. So there was another question where we asked people, do you have systems to consistently generate leads and appointments? Almost all of the businesses that don't have cash flow problems have those kinds of systems in place. Meanwhile, the businesses that are struggling to maintain consistent cash flow do not have those kinds of systems in place, the majority of them. You know, and so that was really striking to me. And I mean, it's just a pretty clear conclusion that, like, that is one of the indicators of succeeding is that, you know, businesses that have the right kind of systems in place to keep new prospects coming in, new leads coming in so that you can continually get new clients on the books. Just like Alex said, you know, he's got a system set up to continually bring new clients in. That's a stable, successful, profitable business. Meanwhile, a lot of other people, unfortunately, are out there on what we call the cash flow roller coaster, where you, you know, 1 month you got some clients, you're feeling good, you're busy, kind of forget about marketing. The next month you run out of clients, you're back on that hamster wheel running, trying to market real quick to get some clients. And that's a tough place to be. And I think we've all been there at one point or another. And it's a beautiful thing when you get off that roller coaster. And, you know, our system and what we teach in Booked is one way to do
excellent.
It.
Excellent. Alex?
Yeah, I'm going to ask you a question about rock bottom. If you've ever been familiar with what rock bottom feels like, Josh, and what was that like for you? But before I do, I want everyone to know that we already have $100 going to Kiva.org as a result of Josh. If you go to pushbuttoninfluence.com/donate, 100%, not 99, not 95, not 50, but 100% goes to Kiva.org. We have generated over $221,000 in the past 5 years as a result, and we're continuing it here. And the reason why we're doing it is because $100. Now, if you bet $105, then you would be the sponsor. And right now we've sponsored it because we generated $100. Now I'm hoping we add a zero in the next few months. Now the goal is $100 for a Kiva entrepreneur is 100 days of financing. Most of these folks make $1 to $2 a day. And by the way, that represents about 1.5 billion people on earth that make that kind of money. So third world, they pay their loans back. They're not like Americans. I mean, they actually pay their loans back. They don't default. So pushbuttoninfluence.com/donate. If you want us to brag about you in the fourth square, which is something that we are innovating here. I talked to the CEO of Lab, thanks to Raven Blair Glover, and she hooked me up with Sean Puri. And he said, you know, that fourth box that we have, that's a great place to put sponsors. They're going to do a lot more with that. So I just wrote a question. Steve wrote it. Today's Blab is sponsored by Push Button Influence. Well, imagine if that's your company and you put a .com there. You are there for one full hour, and we have lots of people. There are a lot more people right now than there were at the beginning of the show. This is unlike a teleseminar or any other kind of virtual presentation. So it works. So that's a technique as an interviewer. That gave Josh some time to think about his rock bottom story. So can you be a good one? I mean, rock bottom is really bedrock. You know, it's a good starting point. But what good one that people?
I have a few of them. Yeah, I mean it's kind of challenging for me to pick just one because I've witnessed a couple. I've been on one myself. I think that, you know, when I was 22, I was part of my dad's company. He had a small remodeling company. I talk about this in my book. One day he brought me into the office and showed me a stack of payables, invoices he owed, and said, "It's too much. We're not going to be able to keep going." And it was that was super, super tough. It was eye-opening for me to see him at rock bottom and the impact that then that had on our family, on him, and the trajectory that took him on for the rest of his life. He ran out of work, couldn't keep the lights on, and the hole had been was just too big. You know, another situation that somewhat similar to that, a company that I worked for from 2003 to 2009. I was with this company for 6 years. I started off as basically just a finance person and small business, though. I was able to really rise up quickly. I ended up being the CFO of the company in a few years because I worked my ass off and did good stuff. And that company went from 5 to 23 million in annual revenue. In 2008, the bottom just dropped out, ran out of work by November 2009. the company's investors and the bank were unwilling to put any more money, good money after bad, as people say, that company was forced to shut its doors. A lot of good people out of a job. And the owner of the company ended up committing suicide, actually, after that happened. And it's the toll it can take of, you know, when you yourself and your ego is so closely associated with your business. And I don't tell this story much because it's a personal story, and I don't like feeling like I'm using his story as some sort of a platform for my business, because he was a friend and a mentor of mine. But it's been a lesson of mine to see, like, you know what, this stuff isn't so important that you need to, you know, tie your ego so directly to the success of your business. But it's tough when you've built something for 25 years and then it goes away. So that one there was about as close as rock bottom for me as it's gotten.
Well, thanks for sharing that, man. Really, and I'm sure that impacted you. And, you know, it's interesting, right? I mean, it's like the subtle shift for those of you that have children like myself. It's like, I have to be with my children. I have to, you know, take care of them versus I get to take. I mean, it's just like that subtle mindset shift. And I'm sure now, after having experienced what you've experienced, it's pretty evident that you look at every single day, man, because I know you well enough to know that you really appreciate and just you get to do the things that you do. And it's not that you have to do them. And it's definitely clear in the way that you run your business and the way that you treat your people. So let's talk about being a leader, because ultimately you have been, as you said, you've been an employee and you've been a leader and you've been an employee, you've been a leader. First and foremost, which do you like better and why? And second, for those that are at the helm of their own organization, what sort of business leadership tips can you offer them?
Well, I mean, I like working for myself and running the show more so than working for other people at this point. I couldn't see going back to it. I couldn't see going back to it in the near future. That's for sure. And leadership tips. I mean, I think that, you know, one of the things is that I just mentioned, you know, I like running the show better. Well, the truth of the matter is that the people running the show are the people that I serve on my team that work with me and that have helped us build this company and get us to where we're at. You know, I get to have fun and come on these things and help spread the message. The real people running the show are people like Ryan, who I think is on this call, who's our director of marketing, and my right-hand man, Ben, and Allison, my assistant, and all sorts of other people on our team that are working hard to continue pushing the rock up the hill every single day, you know? And so I think that's one of the biggest things that I've learned, going from a small company where we had a couple people to a company now with about 30 people, is that you have to get out of your own way, and your role as a leader absolutely changes when you have to realize that you can't just do it by brute force. You have to empower other people on your team to continue, you know, growth.
Awesome. Alex?
Yeah, to add on to that question, Southwest Airlines is one of the only profitable airlines in the U.S., and they hire for attitude and they train for skill. And for many years, I hired for skill and trained for attitude and found it didn't work. So what's your hiring philosophy? Because, yeah, you know, many people use LinkedIn just simply for hiring, and it kind of gets the bad rap of being a kind of like a monster.com, you know, for hiring. But it's a much more than that.
Sure.
What's your hiring philosophy so that you don't have
Well, right now we're hiring in a position for an accounting manager. And the process is essentially that the first step is that Allison, who I just mentioned, she works them through an interview that's really all about culture. And then from there, there is an interview that is about skills. Then we work them through exercises to demonstrate whether they actually have those skills or not. Make sure that they're, you know, punctual and can do the basics of the job.
Let's go back to culture. So with culture, does that mean core values? Sure. Does that mean beliefs? Like, how does culture?
Yeah. Yeah, it's really just like our core values that we've identified as a company, and making sure that we ask questions to really bring out, like, is this person aligned with these things? You know, like, so one of our core values is called the best, which basically means that, you know, we don't want to be good at what we do. We want to be the best at what we do. We're pushing to be great. And so we want to make sure that we have people on the team that are have a very high standard for themselves and don't just think like, you know, 75% is okay. Like we're looking for 100%. Stuff like that.
Yep. All right. Let's go back to LinkedIn for a second, because LinkedIn is and there are folks here who are joining. I know you've got all sorts of things around appointments and whatnot to talk about, but watching the questions that go by here, I mean, there's definitely a lot of questions about LinkedIn. So let me just bring it back to that for a second, which is, you know, LinkedIn's a lot sure. more robust than people even realize. I mean, it's like, you know, it's like, shall we say, layers of the onion, you know, I mean, you just keep going and keep going and keep going. And just when you think you understand it, there's more to understand. So what do you think is the single most underutilized tool or element or ability of LinkedIn that people are just missing out on?
It's kind of a tough one because different businesses have different needs and reasons for using it. But I think the main thing is just that most people are not using it proactively. And they're sitting back and kind of seeing what's happening. And they're going on LinkedIn. They check their inbox. Maybe they go into some groups and try and comment on a post or two. But that's like that's really passive. That's just kind of participating and playing a part in other people's mm-hmm. games. You know, I think the people that are getting the best results out of LinkedIn, the big, you know, success stories you hear, the people that are signing lots of clients on LinkedIn, you know, they're proactively executing a plan. They're continually reaching out to new prospects and developing relationships and putting themselves at the forefront of the conversation. You know, and so I think that, you know, at the end of the day, like that's really the main recipe for success. Mm-hmm. Tactically, if you're looking for like a specific area within LinkedIn that maybe is underutilized, you know, I guess right now I would probably say LinkedIn sponsored updates and ads, because you don't hear of many people that are using them effectively. And it can be an amazing tool for lead generation that I think, you know, most people just shy away from it because they think that it's too expensive or something. But it is really a powerful tool, LinkedIn ads, and we do quite well from. We have a number of clients that do well, and I know a lot of other folks in the industry that do. And at the end of the day, that just comes down to understanding your numbers, right? And so people oftentimes say, well, you know, LinkedIn ads are a little expensive, so we're going to stick with Facebook. But the cost of the ad doesn't matter. It's what's the ROI? You know, and if a lead's going to cost you $10 on Facebook and a lead's going to cost you $5 on Facebook, I'm sorry, $10 on LinkedIn, $5 on Facebook, that doesn't matter to me. It's what is the overall lifetime value of that customer worth to you? You know, and is it worth paying $10 for a lead? Don't forget, if you can get them for $5 somewhere else, as you're growing your business, you have to have more channels to explore. And in some niches, Facebook ads just don't work, whereas LinkedIn ads do work really well. But a lot of people just aren't doing that stuff. So I think that's probably the most underutilized area that I see.
A couple more questions. We'll go to predictions. What do you say?
Sounds like a plan.
I want to go back to old school because I think it's been lost, but it works wonders for us. When someone signs up for a sale, an affiliate partner, or does something remarkable, you know, being remarked about, we use the phone and we call them up, right? And it just seems to be a lot more intimate to get a phone call then to get an email. And of course, text is between there. So how do you feel about the phone and connecting with folks that way? Are you pure email guy, or does phone come into the whole process of appointment?
It absolutely does. I mean, these online tools, as far as I'm concerned, they are tools to get people into real world conversations and to build real world relationships, because that's where business happens, you know. And so the things that we teach and the things that we do for our clients are all about getting these prospects off of LinkedIn, off of Facebook, off of email, and getting them on the phone. You know, that is usually the main priority with all the campaigns that we
run. So like for an email campaign, we want to get them out of the inbox and go to our webpage so that there's no competition. For an appointment campaign, we want to get them out of wherever they are and on the phone so they're listening to us, right?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So we're going to go into the green room here in just a couple of minutes, which is one of the advantages of joining us live here on Push Button Influence every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern. when we bring you the world's leading influencers. So this is your time. This is your chance. This is your opportunity right now to use the chat role there when you do a slash capital Q at the beginning of the sentence and then type your question. It will then go into the queue and we'll be able to answer that after we end the podcast version here and go into the specific Q&A there with Josh. So now's the time to go ahead and use that. Now, Josh, let me give you an opportunity to talk a little bit about, first and foremost, your launch. And second, talk about your book,
sure.
Booked, and where people can find out more information about both.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, basically, they're one and the same thing. So we have a big book launch that starts on Monday, a new book that I have coming out called Booked. Touched on it earlier. It's the complete system for what we do for our clients all over the world in all sorts of industries. Companies like Microsoft have hired us to implement this system all the way down to, you know, very small mom and pop businesses and solopreneurs. So it really is a fit for anybody. It just depends on if you're the kind of business that does business by getting clients, and the way you get those clients is by getting on the phone with them or getting face to face. This is going to be a system that you're going to want to really look at. And it's not the same old kind of social media stuff that you've seen before. It's very specific in terms of lead generation. You know, that's the goal, generating appointments. And so for anybody that wants to get a copy, I know you guys are going to be sharing some links with folks later. You'll be emailing everybody a link and stuff, but it's going to be coming out on Monday. So keep an eye out for that. I know that Steve and Alex will keep you guys posted when it comes out. So yeah, it's going to be awesome. And, I'd love to get a copy in everybody's hands.
Awesome. Alex.
As I unmute, let's talk about predictions.
Right.
So where is the future killer tool for booking appointments? Where do you think it's going 3 years from now? Now, On the internet, it's like dog years, right? We talked about dogs before. It's like 7 years, you know, in real life for every year on internet. At least that's the way it feels like to me. But three internet years, where will we be in generating appointments? Is it going to be virtual reality? I mean, that's coming out. Zuckerberg has dedicated over $1 billion to it. What's going to happen?
You know, I think that, you know, your guess is as good as mine, but bigger picture, I think that things are going to change so dramatically, and you just alluded to this with, you know, virtual reality. I think things are going to change so dramatically that the way that businesses right now can go out and market and get business may not work at all, or maybe non-existent 3, 5, 10 years from now. We can't see it right now because we're here and, you know, humans have a hard time seeing, like, how could this ever change? This is the way we do things. But I think the change that we're going to see in the next 10 years is going to be so rapid that, you know, for businesses right now, I think it's really, really important to be taking advantage of all these things that we have at our disposal now to get in, to position yourself as an authority now, and to really build a foundation now, because a few years down the road, it might be a whole lot tougher, and there's going to be barriers to entry that don't exist right now. I think the game's going to change in a major way, and it's probably not going to be the best change for small business. But then again, you know, there's always opportunities in every market, as long as the AI and the robots don't take over everything. And,
Steve,
you know, put us
let me pose the question to you. What do you think?
Specifically as far as appointment generation and leads are concerned,
yeah, like, you know, connecting with someone, because it's over communicated, over marketed, you know, it
is. And I think actually it's really interesting in terms of the way that Josh started down this path in terms of, let's just look at St. Louis, right? Let's go out, let's nail our market, let's be that big fish in the small pond. And frankly, I think it's all coming full circle again. I think you're going to see a lot of folks wanting that intimate relationship again, where they actually know the person, they like the person, they want to do business with that person. And so I think for those who have been focusing on local marketing, local advertising, and really servicing local clients, to me, that is where the future is, believe it or not. I know as we go more grandiose, I think ultimately we come back to a much smaller, more granular level.
Okay, I tell you, here's my controversial prediction. I believe that email is not going to have the impact that it has. And I don't think it has the impact right now anyway, 10% open rates. I mean, that's like 10% impact. I believe audiences are going to have impact. So we have 100% open rate. You know, you subscribe to an iTunes podcast, 100% open rate, you know, you're going to see it, or you're a fan, you're going to see the post. I believe appointments will be generated from a transparent public display going into a phone versus, you know, email out or, you know, private message. And I see that happening right now. I mean, with me,
yeah.
So I think that trend may continue because we already live in a transparent space. There's not, it's really hard for a country to commit any kind of, you know, war crime these days because it's going to get tweeted out. That's been a positive impact of social media. And we've seen that, you know, in different parts of the world. But I think appointments and generating, you know, interest and attention, you know, ADA, 150-year-old formula, the A, the first A is the hardest A. Just getting attention, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's the direction it's going. You know, I'm not really sure, but it feels that way.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So, Josh, let's do this as we wrap up the podcast version here of Push Button Influence. If people want to get a hold of you, where's the best place for them to go? How do they find you?
You can look me up on LinkedIn, Josh Turner. I'd love to connect with anybody that's here tonight. Just let me know that Alex and Steve sent you so I know who you are. And I would say other than that, just I would love for everybody to sign up to get a copy of my book that's coming out on Monday, February 8th. It's going to be free for a few days. I saw Alex put a link in the chat a minute ago, but I don't know where it went. Can we let everyone know what that link was again?
And you are muted, Mr. Mandojian. So let's try one more time. There we go. And you're still muted. You know, there we go. Much better.
Oh, yeah.
Yay.
Oh, there he is.
You can mute your relatives during Thanksgiving time. All right. So Steve and I put up a webpage to get a free copy. So alexvideotips.com/book. Go check that out. And you can get a free copy. And it's very generous of Josh. I mean, he's throwing money at it. It's costing him, you know, money to send it to you. So go check that out and you can get it. And then all bets are off after this blab. Done.
Over. Awesome. All right. Well, Josh, here's what we're going to do, man. We're going to wrap up the podcast version. We're going to go into the green room, which means that after this fancy exit music here, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be answering your questions. So that's the benefit of joining us live every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Pacific so that you can ask our guests your questions. And that's exactly what we are going to do. So, Alex Mandojian, once again, my friend, my co-host extraordinaire, and it's been amazing. So, Josh Turner, we got to give you two big thumbs up there, man, and say thanks so much for joining us here on Push Button Influence. And after the – oh, there we go. 10 full fingers. It's field goal. All right, Super Bowl. Wait, real quick, Super Bowl prediction. Josh, who's going to win?
I am going to go with the Carolina Panthers. I'm going to say seven.
Alex,
seven.
Who's going to win?
Carolina by six.
I'm going to take Carolina by 21. Right. Blowout. There you have it. All right.
Wow.
Join us next week for Push Button Influence. And I believe we've got a pretty amazing guy on next week, as we seem to do every week here. I think we got Perry Marshall on next week and then Joel Comm after that and Ocean Robbins after that. So lots of really interesting characters here on Push Button Influence sharing their brilliance. And we will talk to you guys next week after this fancy little exit music. We will go into the green room.
You just learned how to broadcast your brilliance. Tune in live to blab.im, Wednesdays at 4 p.m. Pacific, as the world's leading influencers share their proven strategies for leveraging the power of new media. For more information about your hosts, Alex Mandojian and Steve Ulscher, to claim your free surprise gift and to access every episode of Push Button Influence, visit pushbuttoninfluence.com.